जय गोपीगण वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन ब्रजजनरंगन यशोदनन्दन ब्रजजनरंगन यमुना तीरावनकारी यमुना तीरावनकारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, Chapter entitled The Appearance of Sri Narada, Text 19. Please repeat after me. Chaturhotram karma shuddham Prajanam vikshavaidikam Vedadhat yajna santatyai वेदमेकं चतुर्विधं चातुर्होत्रं कर्मशुद्धं प्रजानां वीक्षवैदिकं విదధాత్ యజ్ఞ సంతత్యై వేదమేకం చతుర్విధం చాతుర్హోత్రం కర్మశుద్ధం ప్రజానాం వీక్ష వైదికం విదధాత్ యజ్ఞ సంతత్యై వేదమేకం చతుర్విధం సంతత్యై చాతుర్హోత్రం కర్మశుద్ధం ప్రజానాం వీక్ష వైదికం విదధాద్యజ్ఞ సంతత్యై వేదమేకం చతుర్విధం చాతుర్హోత్రం కర్మశుద్ధం ప్రజానాం వీక్ష వైదికం విదధాద్యజ్ఞ సంతత్యై వేదమేకం చతుర్విధం. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్ చాతుః ఫోర్ హోత్రం sacrificial fires, karma shuddham, purification of work, prajanam, of the people in general, viksha, after seeing, vaidikam, according to Vedic rites, vidadhat, made into, yajna, sacrifice, santatyai, to expand, vedamekam, only one Veda, chatuvidham, in four divisions. Translation, he saw that the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas were means by which the people's occupations could be purified. And to simplify the process, he divided the one Veda into four, in order to expand them among men. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So formerly there was only the Veda of the name Yajur, and the four divisions of sacrifices were there specifically mentioned. But to make them more easily performable, the Veda was divided into four divisions of sacrifice, just to purify the occupational service of the four orders. Above the four Vedas, namely Rig, Yajur, Sama and Atharva, there are the Puranas, the Mahabharata, Samhitas, etc., which are known as the fifth Veda. Srila Vyasa and his many disciples were all historical personalities, and they were very kind and sympathetic toward the fallen souls of this age of Kali. As such, the Puranas and Mahabharata were made from related historical facts which explained the teaching of the four Vedas. There is no point in doubting the authority of the Puranas and Mahabharata as parts and parcels of the Vedas. In the Chandogya Upanishad 7.1.4, the Puranas and Mahabharata, generally known as histories, are mentioned as the fifth Veda. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, that is the way of ascertaining the respective values of the revealed scriptures. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిభిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనాశలాకయ చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. నమ ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రిస్తాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपा समहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर अवर डेली श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास एंड बिफोर आई बिगिन आई वुड लाइक टू सीक ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल दी असेंबल्ड वैष्णवास एंड ऑल्सो दोज हु आर वॉचिंग ऑनलाइन so that I can speak something which is meaningful and also transformational. So somehow we have come to this world of suffering to enjoy independent of Krishna in this world, but Krishna is so merciful that he has not rejected us at all. So like a loving father, he is keen to get us back to the spiritual world more than our desire to go back. So that is our condition, and for that reason he is helping us in so many ways. Like for example, he is always accompanying us as Paramatma in our hearts, trying to guide us, eager to guide us, and sometimes he himself comes in this world to attract the conditioned living entities towards him. Sometimes he sends his messengers to this world to remind us about our supreme goal, and he has also given us scriptures which can help us develop our jnana chakshu, and we can perform bhakti and we can go back to the spiritual world. So this is the compassion of the Supreme Lord, that he is trying to help us in so many ways after we have rejected him and came to this material world. So in this verse speaks about Vyasdev, who divided the one Veda into four. So then he saw the anomalies of the age of Kali Yuga and decided that, you know, they will not be able to understand, so I have to simplify that. Then he has expanded that one Veda into four. So these Vedas, they are coming directly from the breathing of Supreme Lord, right? And here it is also mentioned, Vyasa also gave us authentic supplements like Itihasas and Puranas, which are even more simplified version of the Vedas, which are easy to be understood. Like I remember when I was in the high school, we used to solve this algebraic expressions in mathematics. Some of you may be remembering that. So simplify an algebraic expression, that was the question. And basically it is to write in a very simplest way possible, and at the end there should not be any more addition, subtraction, deletion, or, you know, division should be there. So that is how we used to simplify the whole algebraic expression. So similarly, so Vyasdev divided the one Veda into four to simplify and give to us. And it is also mentioned the scriptures themselves glorify the other scriptures, and they are also defined as a paurushaya, meaning that they have not come from any mundane personality of this world, but they are directly coming from the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the mundane duality of this world. He is not affected by the three modes of this world. So that is how they are very authentic and bona fide. But there are so many misconceptions about Itihasas and Puranas, whether they also belong to this Vedic scripture, whether they are also part of the Vedas. So that was a big question, and many school of thoughts, they don't accept the authenticity of these Puranas and Itihasas. But here in this verse also Prabhupada mentions, Chandogya Upanishad mentions the Puranas and Itihasas to be part of this Vedas, and they are also considered as fifth Veda, right? Itihasa Purana Panchama Vedanam Vedah. And Bhagavad Purana also mentions in this particular verse how Itihasas and Puranas, they are also part of the Vedas. And in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also, it is explained that apart from Rig, Yajur, Sam and Atharva Vedas, Itihasas and Puranas, they are also appearing from the breathing of the Supreme Lord. So that is how they are also very authentic and bona fide. So many people claim themselves to be in the knower of the Vedas, especially in Mumbai. You know, I have this experience many times while traveling in the taxis. Many of them who are from the North India, they call themselves, Maharaj, hum bhi वेद में पारंगत है, हमारा नाम भी यू नो चतुर्वेदी द्विवेदी त्रिवेदी वॉट एवर. सो दे ऑल्सो ट्राई टू शो देर ब्राह्मण थ्रेड, यू नो वी आर ऑल्सो फ्रॉम द सेम थिंग. सो द पॉइंट दैट दे आर ट्राइंग टू मेक इज हमको क्या सुना रहे आप, हम भी कुछ है. सो हाउ मच डू दे नो एक्चुअली अबाउट द वैदिक स्क्रिप्चर्स एंड स्पेशली द एसेंस ऑफ द वैदिक स्क्रिप्चर्स, दैट इज इवन मोर डिफिकल्ट टू अंडरस्टैंड इन दिस डे एंड एज. सो श्रील जीव गोस्वामी इन हिज तत्व संदर्भ ही क्लैरिफाइज मेनी ऑफ दिस कंसेप्ट्स, बेसिकली हाउ इतिहास एंड पुराणास दे आर ऑल्सो पार्ट ऑफ द वेदास, रादर दे आर कंसिडर्ड एज द फिफ्थ वेद. सो ही एक्सप्लेन्स द प्रैक्टिकल डिफिकल्टीज इन्वॉल्व इन स्टडिंग द वेदास, सम ऑफ देम आई विल ट्राई टू डिस्कस टूडे. फर्स्ट वन इज अनअवेलेबिलिटी ऑफ कंप्लीट टेस्ट ऑफ वेदास. So in today's world, no one can claim that, you know, they have all the Vedic literature with them. So many of them are lost. So it is explained in the Kurma Puran, you know, the followers of Vyasdev, they have further divided the Vedas into 1130 branches. So that is even more simplified by his followers. So formerly, the division was like this. Rig Veda was divided into 21 branches. The Yajur Veda into 100 branches, the Sama Veda into 1000 branches, and the Atharva Veda into 9 branches. So each of these branches, again they have 4 subdivisions. They are called as Samhitas, Brahmanas, Aranyakas and Upanishads. So all together the Vedas consist of 1130 Samhitas, 1130 Brahmanas, 1130 Aranyakas and 1130 Upanishads, total of 4520 titles. So these are the statistics. So can anyone claim that he knows all the Vedic literature? It is impossible. Firstly, many of them are lost. They are not at all present. So it is mentioned by Jiva Goswami that only 6% of these Vedic scriptures are available now. That only that much. And the second difficulty Jiva Goswami explains concerning with the language. So there are varieties of Sanskrit. Basically they are divided into 2 types, Vaidika and Alaukika. And Vaidika is also called as, Vaidika is called as Alaukika, and there is Laukika, which is worldly or ordinary. I mean current language, whichever is, you know, prominent. And most of these verses in the Vedas, they are all Alaukika, Vaidika, very difficult to understand. So to learn this Sanskrit, to understand these verses which are there originally in the Vedas, we need to have extra vocabulary and we need to understand rules of grammar, which requires years of study, right? So even someone has fathomed the language of Sanskrit, then what is the other difficulty? There are so many cryptic verses in the scriptures which are very difficult to understand. Without the help of a bona fide guru who is coming in disciplic succession, it is even more difficult to understand these verses. And the third difficulty Srila Jiva Goswami explains. So before even making an attempt to study the Vedic scriptures, Vedas, one must study their 6 corollaries or limbs. I mean, you can imagine what are the conditions we have. So which are called as Vedangas. So there are 6 limbs. First one is Siksha, the science of pronunciation, Kalpa, the process of performing sacrifice, Vyakarna, the rules of grammar, Nirukta, the meanings of difficult words used in the Vedas and their derivations, Jyotisha, astronomy and astrology, and Chandas, Vedic meters. So each of these limbs is extensive and requires lot of serious study. And then one can think of attempting to actually study the Vedic scriptures. And lastly, he says, to further complicate matters, with the advent of Kali Yuga, human memory has grown weaker and weaker. So that is the actual reason we can say. So in this age, the food, the water, air, everything that we are taking, they are all polluted, and all these factors are contributing to the weak human memory, making it even difficult to try to study the available 6% of Vedic scriptures And that is just the study part. Understanding part is even more difficult. So therefore, Jiva Goswami concludes that although the four Vedas are perfect Shabda Praman, they are perfect Shabda Praman, but in the present age, it is very difficult, impractical to study that, and thoroughly especially, and what to speak of ascertaining the real meaning of these Vedic scriptures. That is even more difficult. So, but some people may alternatively suggest that, you know, okay, no problem, no need to study these Vedas. But we have these Vedanta Sutras. Maybe we can make an attempt to study these Vedanta Sutras. Then Jiva Goswami replies that, so many thinkers, they differ about the meaning of these Vedanta Sutras. So everyone has his own understanding of these Vedanta Sutras. So that is even adding to more and more confusion. So what is left with us? The Itihasas and the Puranas. So for all these reasons, we must admit that, you know, even with the help of Vedas and the Vedanta, we will not be able to understand the three main subject matters of the scriptures, that is Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. So therefore, he suggests that we should study Puranas and Itihasas. So he also explains many of the advantages that we have when we study Itihasas and Puranas over the study of Vedantas. He says they are easier to understand than the Vedas, because they are written in Laukika Bhasha, Laukika language, the language which is currently people use to, you know, conversation. And secondly, he says the esoteric meanings of Vedas are even more accessible in Itihasas and Puranas, because these works have been narrated in a story format. So in Kali Yuga, we can see that, you know, people are attracted to the stories more than the philosophy. So Itihasas and Puranas, they contain stories which can actually explain us the philosophical truths that are given in the Vedas. Then he also says that, especially in India, only the Dvijas, the twice born Vedic initiates, are supposed to study the Vedas. And that restriction does not apply here. So anyone can read or study Puranas and Itihasas. Even the reciter of these Puranas, Suta Goswami, he is not from a, you know, he is not a Dvija, he is not a twice-born person. So he spoke the Vedas, Itihasas and Puranas. So we have an example. And he says Itihasas and Puranas, they also convey the same conclusions of the Vedas. So we are not losing anything. So we are also getting the same benefit of reading them. So the Itihasas and Puranas should therefore be considered as reliable as the four Vedas. That is the conclusion which Prabhupada also mentions in the purport. So this is the first part of our discussion, wherein Jiva Goswami nicely, you know, establishes the authenticity of Itihasas and Puranas as part of the Vedas, rather we are the fifth Veda. And he also gives a beautiful analogy. I will try to explain that. He says, Puranas, they are considered as supplementary literature to the Vedas. And he gives an example. Like we have a goldsmith. He is making a gold ring. So he is working on that. He is carving the gold ring. So then he was short of some gold. So to complete the work, he was short of some gold. So in that case, can he use any other metal? Maybe can you use the lead instead of gold there? No. So in no other metal can be substituted in the place of gold there. In order to complete that golden ring, he has to use the gold. So similarly, Puranas and Itihas, they are considered as supplements to the Vedic scriptures, Vedas, four Vedas. So how can they be less than Vedas? So that is the point Jiva Goswami nicely explains with this analogy of golden bracelet, golden ring, whatever it is. So Vyasdev and his whole team, they have worked hard enough to give us the simplified versions of the Vedic scriptures, and this is their compassion actually. Like Krishna appears in this world out of compassion, and these great acharyas, out of their compassion, they have also given us such simplified versions of scriptures. Especially our acharyas in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, they have also done a lot of work Like we can understand this by using the example of a jackfruit. I don't know how many of you have this experience of cutting a jackfruit. So there are so many conditions, rules, so many small details one has to follow even before making an attempt to cut the jackfruit. And how much to cut, how much deep we should put the knife into it, and we should apply oil beforehand. And we should be able to understand, identify which are the fruits and which is the pulp. That is also required. That knowledge is also required. If you have never seen jackfruit, never eaten jackfruit, then we will not be able to understand. So our scriptures are also like jackfruit. Very difficult to cut it or understand. So our acharyas, they have cut the jackfruits and they have presented us the pulp, the actual jackfruit in a plate, ready to be served and ready to be eaten by all of us. So this is their mercy. They have simplified the concepts of Vedas, Vedic scriptures, so that it becomes easier for us and we can benefit ourselves. In many other religions also we can see, like in Christianity, they have these 10 commandments. Bible is there. Okay, if you have time, you can read. But they have readily given the 10 commandments. Follow this, then you can perfect your life. Isn't it? And we can also see in our own bhakti movement 500 years ago, Tulsidas, as Vishwaru Prabhu also mentioning on Sunday. So Tulsidas gave us Ramacharitamanas, which was written in the Avadhi language, which was famous at that time. So people could easily able to read and understand the simple language, isn't it? Otherwise, how many people at that time especially have an access to read, to learn Sanskrit and then make an attempt to read the scriptures? It's very difficult. And in Maharashtra also we have Tukaram Maharaj, who gave us Abhangas, right? Such simplified version of the conclusive truths of all the Vedic scriptures. Anyone can easily understand, rather than one can sing it and meditate on that and then practice it. So it is so easier. Similarly, our acharyas, they have also given us so many bhajans, which contains a lot of philosophical truths. I remember one time His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, while explaining the importance of bhajans. So he says, it is very easy to sing than to study and then trying to understand. So singing is much easier. Like in Vrindavan also, while Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, she used to churn the butter, she used to sing the pastimes of Krishna in so many beautiful songs, and thus she could remember Krishna all the time. And Maharaj went on explaining how in the school also, when they tried to teach children how to learn ABCD, so then they would sing and they would explain the children by singing ABCD. Like ABCDEFGIJKLM. I forgot. It's been a long time. So he was explaining how it is easier to sing and learn the things. And that is how our acharyas, they have given in bhajans. We have so many devotees in our ashram. While taking bath, they sing different bhajans and try to remember and meditate on these bhajans. So that is the beauty of our acharyas. They have given us such simplified versions of Vedic scriptures. And now we will try to focus on what we got from our Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Let us try to focus on that. And we can see how Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, surrender unto me. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. So it is a direct instruction of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. But he did not specify anything about how we should surrender. He just said, surrender to me. And then that's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, descended into this world to explain what is the meaning of surrender, how to perform bhakti, who is a bhakta, who is a Vaishnava, and so many other aspects of bhakti, like how to perform devotional, how to perform deity worship. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the help of his followers, he has come to give us such beautiful explanation of the bhakti process in such a easier way, so that we can understand and we can practice that in our life. So, like they have given us, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they have given us nectar of instruction, which are like simple instructions to follow in bhakti. Not simple. I will take that word back. It is So it is easy to understand them but difficult to practice, but they have compiled and put it in one place. If we make an attempt to read the Vedic scriptures, it is difficult to find out those verses from the scriptures. But they have compiled all of them, and some of the verses they have compiled themselves and they have given to us. And Nectar of Devotion, what a book it is. Such details of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, never heard before. And even to simplify that, they have given us 64 items of bhakti. Bas ye karo. 64 items. And even in that they have given, you know, these five are most important. So that is the compassion of our acharyas, who have simplified the scriptures in such a way so that, you know, we cannot give an excuse. If bhakti is difficult, I don't have time. So that is our fortune. So interestingly, if you see the previous life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before taking sannyas, he manifested his pastimes like a erudite scholar of Vyakaranam and also arrogant scholar in one sense. He was very arrogant also. And but now if we connect the dots, we can understand why he behaved like that. Maybe this is my philosophical speculation also. So initially he behaved like an arrogant scholar of, you know, scriptures, Vedanta or Sanskrit grammar. And later on, when he went to Gaya, his life was completely transformed by the mercy of his guru, Ishwarapuri, and he became a devotee. So now he had that background of, you know, he was a great scholar, but now he completely, you know, wo sab bakwas hai, that is all waste. Devotional service is perfect. It is the ultimate. So now when people see that, array, he was such a scholar, but now he has become a devotee. So let us also become devotee. So that is in a way he has tricked all the people of Navadvip at that time. Navadvip was considered to be a seat of knowledge and education at the time. So anyone who was scholar was considered to be a great personality. That was the norm at that time. So that is what we can understand, you know, how you know, it was the trick of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that, you know, all of the people of Navadvip and also all of the people in India can take to devotional service, which is the essence of all the scriptures. Rather than wasting time in Vyakarana and studying, trying to understand the Vedas, four Vedas, so directly why not just perform bhakti and perfect our lives. And Prabhupada also says, bhakti is so simple that one may skip it. It appears so simple, bas chanting karna hai. Karke dekho, pata chalega. So it appears to be so simple, you know, people may skip the process also. That is the problem. So I would like to discuss a beautiful pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita of the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashanand Saraswati. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Varanasi while he was traveling towards Vrindavan. So he stayed for 2 months explaining the conclusions of the scriptures to Sanatan Goswami. So at that time he was staying in the house of Tapan Mishra. And then, and there was one Maharashtrian Brahman who was living in Varanasi at that time. So this Brahmana, he heard so much blasphemy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the Mayavadi sannyasis. So he felt very upset. He became very unhappy when he heard the blasphemy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from this Mayavadi sannyasis. So they used to say, so this person is an illiterate sannyasi and therefore does not know his real function. So guided only by his sentiments, he wanders about in the company of other sentimentalists. So this was the kind of blasphemy they were doing against Mahaprabhu. So then this Brahmana, he thought of an idea. So he thought that why not arrange for a conversation or a dialogue between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this Mayavadi sannyasis. So then he approaches all the Mayavadi sannyasis and requests them that, you know, let us have this discussion. And they also agree. Then he also puts a request in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu just smiles and doesn't say anything, you know, as if he was disinterested. And then Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar, when they also hear such blasphemy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from these sannyasis in Varanasi, they also feel very unhappy. And then they also approach Mahaprabhu. So then when he saw that so many of them approaching him, then he also felt that, you know, okay, let me give them my mercy. So he makes that decision. So this Brahmana, as I said, he invites both the parties to his house, and then Mahaprabhu goes to this house of this Brahmana, Maharashtrian Brahmana. So then he first washes his feet, and then he sits at the same place where people, you know, they are washing their hands, washing their feet. And so he was sitting there, and all the other sannyasis, they were sitting in a different place. And just to draw their attention, you know, he displays, he manifests his Brahman effulgence. You know, effulgence which is equal to millions of, you know, effulgence of the sun, millions of suns. So then he's tricking them because they are attracted towards Brahman effulgence, right? Brahma Jyoti. So then he displays, he manifests his effulgence in that way. And when they see such an effulgence from the coming from the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they get attracted. That is how the Lord tricks them. And the leader of all the sannyasis, Prakashan Saraswati, he comes. So when he sees, you know, he seems to be very powerful. Such a teja is coming from his body. So then he approaches Mahaprabhu, and very respectfully he invites them in the middle of all the other sannyasis. So he invites them. So then Mahaprabhu says, I belong to lower order of sannyas. So I am not qualified to sit with all of you. So again Mahaprabhu is here displaying his humility. And devotees explain that this is how when we are trying to preach to the intellectual class of society, they will get attracted only with the humility of the person. Intelligence and all those is okay. But in order to attract such people, such personalities, humility is the only qualification which can actually attract them towards Krishna. And this is what Mahaprabhu also did here. And Prakashan Sarvasati, who was the leader, you know, when he invites Mahaprabhu to sit in the middle of all the other sannyasis, so because of that small gesture, he gains a lot of Agyata Sukruti. You know, that is how Mahaprabhu tricks him into devotional service. And then he asks series of questions to Mahaprabhu. First he asks, so why do you dance and chant with other fanatics? You know, meditation and study of the Vedanta is the sole purpose of the sannyasis. And why are you dancing and, you know, chanting like this, like a sentimentalist? Kindly explain the reason why you have adapted this behavior of a low class people. So they were considering such dancing and kirtan to be, you know, person who are from the low class. They will be doing all this. So Mahaprabhu replies beautifully. He says, Prabhu kahe shuna shripat ihara karana guru more murka dekhi karila shashanam. So Mahaprabhu says, my spiritual master considered me to be a great foolish person, and therefore he chastised me. Because previously Mahaprabhu was, you know, engaged in a lot of debates using his Sanskrit knowledge. So in Kali Yuga, people are fools and rascals, Prabhupada mentions, and therefore cannot study Vedanta and do meditation. It's not possible. So, Murkha tumi tomara nahika Vedanta adhikara. So you are so foolish that you are not qualified to study Vedanta. Ishwar Puri is telling to Mahaprabhu. Krishna mantra japa sada yai mantra sara. So instead of wasting your time, why don't you just chant the holy names of Lord? So chanting of Krishna's names is the essence of all Vedic hymns and purport of all scriptures. So this was the essence of the discussion which Mahaprabhu does with all the sannyasis of Varanasi. And they all get convinced by the philosophy of Mahaprabhu. And all of them, they also take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and become devotees of Lord Krishna. So in this way, the onus lies on the devotee to find out the ways and means to attract the conditioned souls to the process of chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. I remember, like, we do some preaching in one of the medical colleges here. So in order to attract the students for our, you know, yearly Janmashtami, it is so difficult to get the crowd. So what we do, we also have drama as part of the whole event.
And then in order to attract all the crowd, what we do, we select someone who is very famous in the college as the participants in the drama. You know, and we make the publicity that so-and-so person is, you know, acting in this drama. And just to see that person, they come there. And that is how, you know, devotees trick people, you know, these students to come to our programs. And that is what Prabhupada is also expecting. We should tax our brains and try to find out the ways and means by which we can attract people to Krishna conscious philosophy. And each of the acharyas or guru in our sampradaya, they have contributed in a very significant way to give us the most simplified version of the Vedic scriptures. And we, in that sense, we owe a lot of lot to them. Like we have Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who has actually revived the whole process of Krishna consciousness from the situation wherein the Vaishnavas were considered as beggars, merely beggars. So from that situation, he revived the whole the process of Vaishnava philosophy to an extent where people were actually respecting Vaishnavas. So that was his great contribution to our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who actually institutionalized the whole process of Krishna consciousness, and as all of you know, he created 64 Gaudiya Mutts, and then Brahmacharis and Sannyas Ashram was also introduced again in the Gaudiya Mutts. So this was his contribution of how this philosophy of Krishna consciousness can be presented in a simplified manner to the people of this age. And what to speak of Srila Prabhupada? So he did an amazing work. The words will be short, but few things I would like to mention. So Prabhupada, when he made an attempt to write Bhagavad Gita, many people objected this. They asked, Prabhupada, we have so many Bhagavad Gitas already, so why are you writing one more? Then he said, they have written, but it is all bogus. It is completely deviant from the original message which Krishna wanted to give to us. So that is why I am writing Bhagavad Gita as it is. And Prabhupada's genius was, he presented such complex philosophy of Gita in such a simplified way, you know, any layman, any simple person can also understand. And if you all can remember the different analogies Prabhupada uses in our Bhagavad Gita and others, Bhagavatam also, you know, fish out of water cannot be happy. Such a simple analogy, but we can understand such deep philosophical truths by this small analogy, you know. And when Prabhupada would explain about the difference between material energy and spiritual energy, he gives the analogy of electrical engineer, how he can make adjustment and convert from one energy to another energy. Such simple analogies, simple examples which Prabhupada gave us, which made easier for us to understand the scriptures. So that is the genius of Srila Prabhupada. And he gave us this morning program. Such a beautiful program which consists of both the theory and practicals. Theory is the philosophical part that we are discussing in the Bhagavatam class. And what is the practical thing? Which is the religious part that we first do Mangalarti, we do chanting, japa meditation, and we do Guru Puja, we have Darshanarti. So these are all practical aspects of our Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada designed this morning program in such a way that both the theory and practicals are covered, both for the head and the heart. We require philosophy for the head and, you know, culture for the heart, which Prabhupada has nicely given us in our morning programs. And book distribution, you know, especially those who are living in the ashram here. So previously in Gurukul system, you know, the disciple was sent outside to go and ask for, he used to go begging alms from different householders, and then he would come back. So we don't have that facility now. Although few years before we made an attempt in the BT Yatra, you know, to adopt this system, but now it's not happening. So book distribution Prabhupada gave us, that is also equivalent to, you know, this Gurukul system. How? So when people go for begging alms, you know, it is not that, you know, every home, every householder will give you something. You will be rejected in many of the places. So there is a lot of rejection that happens when we go and ask for alms from different householders. Similarly, when we approach people to take, you know, please take this Bhagavad Gita, take this Bhagavatam, we, you know, get a lot of rejections. You know, why should we buy this? And that is how we also get trained. So this is also a nice training which we get. We can learn how to deal with the rejections of this world just by distributing books of Srila Prabhupada. And the list is unlimited, so I'll not go into details of what all Prabhupada gave. So many things he gave. Gurukul system he gave. He gave us Govinda's restaurant where people come and you know, just eat prasadam, and then eventually they get purified and they also start coming to the temple, which is just from the side of the restaurant. And I remember in one of the Prerana lectures here in the temple hall, one of the actress, she came here in that particular Prerana. And before the actual lecture, she also gave a small lecture for 10 minutes. And she was just glorifying the architecture of this temple, especially the symmetry in which this whole temple hall is made. She went on glorifying the, you know, the symmetry, how beautiful this temple hall is. So that is also a trick of Srila Prabhupada. He gave us such gorgeous temples with gorgeous deities. People, if they start glorifying even one aspect of our Krishna consciousness movement, their bhakti will begin. Right? So that is how they also become devotees of Krishna. So in one sense, Srila Prabhupada not only gave us the jackfruit in a plate, but he also put honey on the top of jackfruit. That is even more palatable. Very easy to eat. That was the genius of Srila Prabhupada. So in today's time, if you see, we may not be so much bothered about the scholars of the Vedas here. We hardly interact with them in this world, in the modern context. But we may be misled, or we may get confused by so many other things which are happening in the society. For example, the word jugglery of some of the spiritual leaders. If you ask them about karma, and they will just go here and there, all bouncers. No one will understand. And the so-called foolish intellectuals of this world, they think, okay, kuch bhi samajh mein nahi aa raha, that means sab kuch to hai iske andar. They get attracted to such philosophy. Isn't it? So by word jugglery, people are getting confused in today's time. And they are not able to accept the simple process of Krishna consciousness. God is love, love is God. Bas. what to derive out of that? Very difficult to understand. And there is another concept that has come up. Be spiritual, but not religious. Spiritual. I am a spiritualist, I am not religious. Well, what does it mean? You just want to accept the theory part, you don't want to accept the practicals. If you don't do practicals, then what is the use of theory? Right? If you don't implement the knowledge of the scriptures, how are we going to benefit? And this has become the norm in the today's society. Be spiritual but not religious. And many, many of them, they are caught up in the rituals of the scriptures, not understanding the essence of the scriptures. And unfortunately, they lose out the precious human form of life. Like when man becomes, you know, attached to these rituals, what kind of confusion can arise in the society? So one small, short narration of one more pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of Subuddhi Roy. So formerly Subuddhi Roy, he was a big landholder in Bengal. So he had a servant with name Syed Hussain Khan. He was the servant who was serving for Subuddhi Roy. So one time Subuddhi Roy gives him a task, a service. He makes him an in charge to dig the large lake, a big lake in that area. And because he committed some fault, some mistake, Syed Hussain Khan. So then he became very angry, and then he struck him with a whip on his back. So at that time, you know, this person, he did not take it so seriously. So later on, by the mercy of the Lord, Syed Hussain Khan, he became the Nawab of Bengal, central government of Bengal. And he was so happy with his owner, with his master, Subuddhi Roy, that he increased the opulences of Subuddhi Roy. So he was not angry at him. So he actually forgot the whole episode. So later on, when the wife of Syed Hussain Khan see, when she sees the marks of whip on his back, she becomes very angry. And then she asks, inquires, so how did this happen? How did this come on your back? Then he explains the whole story. And she becomes very angry. And she actually wanted to take revenge on Subuddhi Rai. So then she suggested, why don't you kill this person who has actually harmed you? So then he says, no, that's okay. He was a very good master and he has nicely taken care of me when I was working with him. So I don't have any problem with him. You know, rather the proposal that you are giving is not befitting actually. So I will not do this. But again and again she insists him. And then finally she comes with a new proposal. She says, okay, if you don't want to kill him, at least change his religion. Make him into a Muslim person. So even for that, you know, he doesn't agree. He says, if I make him Muslim, then he will not live only. He will die because of that insult. But again and again she insists. And finally, ghar mein kya kar sakte hai? Home minister. So he has to obey the law. So then he agrees and he sprinkles the water from his pitcher and then converts Subuddhi Rai into a Muslim person. And it was a custom at that time. It was such a rigid custom at that time. Anyone, you know, if they are sprinkled such water on them, they would accept it also. And then they get converted. And many people, those who were serving these Muslim people, they also would get converted. Like we have examples of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Just by serving them, their religion was converted. And later on, when Aurangzeb came, he also introduced such an bill, such a tax against all the Hindus, that it was very difficult for them to pay. And because of that pressure also, many of them got converted. So this was the process of conversion at that time. So Subuddhi Rai, after he got converted, he left his family, business affairs, and he went to Varanasi and started inquiring from different Brahmanas, how can I atone for the sinful activity that I committed? Then some of the learned Brahmanas from Varanasi, they suggest him, so to get rid of the sinful reactions, you should drink hot ghee and you should die by drinking that. So he was completely perplexed. What kind of suggestion is this? You know, we should die. But Subuddhi Rai was intelligent enough. He went for a second opinion. So then he approached some other Brahmanas and then he inquired. You know, this was the suggestion that was given. So they said, no, you have not committed such a grievous act. No need to drink hot ghee. So because of these different kinds of suggestions that were coming from different Brahmanas in Varanasi, he got more and more confused. But somehow by the mercy of the Lord, he came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who just told him simple solution. Prabhu kahe yaha hai te yaha Vrindavan nirantar kar Krishna nama sankirtan. Just chant the names of Krishna, you will get rid of any kind of sinful activity. So that was the solution Mahaprabhu gave, and that is the greatest atonement, best solution to counteract all the sinful activities. Of course, we should not take this as a license. We commit sinful activity and then chant the holy names to counteract the effects of that. That becomes an aparad. So that was the solution which Mahaprabhu gave us. So Prabhupada, then often, many times he said in many of the conversation, many of the places. So in order to explain the difficult philosophical truths of our scriptures, we have to present the Krishna consciousness philosophy in such a simplified way so that anyone can understand. And how to get that? Two ways. One is, when we start sharing with others whatever we know, then our understanding of scriptures also will also increase. Our understanding will become mature. So that will also help us to present the philosophy in a very simplified manner so that anyone can understand. And another way Prabhupada suggested was by writing. When we start writing for different magazines, by writing also we can develop that skill of, you know, deeper understanding of the scriptures. And like Prabhupada, we can also try to explain the scriptures in a simple way. And if you see our Bhagavad Gita, in almost all the purports of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentioned about Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So even when there was no mention of any kirtan or kirtaniya, whatever, in the shloka, but Prabhupada gave us that, you know, conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures in almost all the purports of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? So that anyone, you know, makes an attempt to read Bhagavad Gita, study Bhagavad Gita, even if he reads two or three pages, he will come across that Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And he can actually perfect his life. Instead of trying to understand everything, first begin with the conclusion of all the scriptures. That is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just to briefly summarize, we saw how Jiva Goswami has nicely explained in Tattva Sandarbha that Itihasas and Puranas, they are also part of the Vedas, rather they are the fifth Veda and they are bona fide, so reading them is not a problem. And then in the purport, Prabhupada also mentions about how our acharyas, they have simplified the scriptures for all of us. So that is their mercy and kindness that we got that. And then we have seen from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he converted the Mayavadi sannyasis who were busy in studying the Vedanta. Why waste time in studying all these Vedic scriptures? Better focus on chanting of the holy names. Of course, Prabhupada also gave us Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, NOD, NOI. These are the only books we can focus on. Because right now we don't have any faith in the chanting process. I'm speaking about myself. So in order to gain faith in the process of chanting, we have to read these few of the scriptures which Prabhupada gave us. So that we can also benefit. And by sharing with others, we can benefit others also. And we can increase our own understanding of scriptures. And we become mature in our Krishna conscious philosophy. Hare Krishna. So I would like to stop here. Anyone has any one comment? You're already. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.